Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Muhammad Citizen for the week of February 10th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page. This article is under the banner of Across the Region. The headline reads, Piatt County Wind Farm Debate Grows. Goose Creek Wind Plan Draws Crowd of Area Citizens. Apex Clean Energy has yet to officially file the necessary zoning applications for its proposed Goose Creek Wind development, but those on both sides of the wind energy issue are already lining up their cases. That was evident during a recent Piatt County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. A main purpose of the session was to review text amendments to the county's wind energy conversion ordinance. Moved to one of the courtrooms due to the large crowd in attendance, the January 23rd session quickly became a trial on the pros and cons of wind turbines in general. Some testified that turbines are safe, produce clean energy, and provide an economic boost where they're located. Others did not like the idea of turbines near their home, particularly the noise they generate. For John Jordan of Mansfield, he felt allowing farmers to lease some of their land to wind developers would diversify the use of their property. I know you guys are concerned about prime farmland, but I haven't heard a farmer in Piatt County that hasn't complained about not making money. Maybe we don't need so much prime farmland, said Jordan. Piatt County resident and ecologist Amanda Pankow urged the county to encourage renewable energy, saying that there is a lot of misinformation about windmills, such as the claim they cost more energy to create than they save. After quoting a national renewable energy lab study that estimated wind turbines produce 99% less of carbon dioxide per unit of energy than coal, she asked the ZBA to allow us to move away from dirty energy sources that for years have polluted our water and our air. On the other side was Dave Oliger, who felt a 50 decibel noise limit being discussed in the county code is not livable. The noise level at my house now is 25 decibels. Citing a study done on wind farm noises, noise consultant Mike Hancard felt the state's noise code, which he called one of the most stringent in the nation, protected citizens with a 46 dB limit in a home when it comes to wind turbine noise. You are adequately protected by the Illinois Pollution Control Board, Hancard said, noting the state standards exceed the local ones should they be approved. And I think that the science on the matter is reasonably clear that if you keep wind turbine noise levels down in that mid-40s, there's no demonstrated health impact, he added. Ted Hartke disagreed, saying it is the lower bandwidth noise not always covered by IPCB standards that contributed to sleep issues for his family in their home that bordered windmills in Vermilion County. His family eventually moved from that property. Is it reasonable to let children sleep inside their home? Was one question he asked Hancard. Others said economic factors should swing the county in favor of the wind farm. Apex is estimating 120 turbines in northern Piatt County, estimating it would generate $65 million in tax revenue for county governments in 30 years. Illinois State University economy professor David Loomis estimated the Goose Creek project, as currently proposed, would feature a $400 million investment in the county, with the creation of 339 jobs during construction and 35 permanent jobs. This is a great opportunity in terms of economic development for counties like Piatt County, Barbara Lamont, a township assessor in Macon County, said. The county there receives about $3 million in revenue annually from wind companies. With the Piatt County budget deficit that I've seen from the November meeting, it would be silly not to, because I don't see any businesses that would bring in that volume of tax revenue to the county that this would bring, she said. Appraiser Mike Maruse said he had talked to 100 assessors in areas where there are wind turbines and told the ZBA that, "My conclusion is there are no negative impact on values." Hartke responded that a Vermilion County assessor told one of his neighbors that a $20,000 loss in their property's value could be attributed to the advent of windmills there. ZBA members discussed proposed changes in the wind energy conversion ordinance, including setbacks. The original document approved by the ZBA last year stated that all towers should be set back a distance of 3.75 times the tower tip height, or 1,600 feet, whichever is greater, from adjacent property lines. An amendment could lower that to 1.1 times the tower tip height, or 1,600 feet, which Apex spokesman Aaron Baker said is likely needed in order for the project to proceed. Larger setbacks could make it difficult to have enough land available, she said, adding that 3.75 times the tip height could be prohibitive, especially with towers becoming taller all the time. "What we ask as you deliberate your ordinance is that we get an ordinance in place that has sufficient guardrails to protect for the safety of your community," added Baker. "Yes, absolutely. That is our goal, too, but that it gives us the regulatory certainty that need to know that we can move on and get to work. Right now, that's uncertain for us." Testimony on the wind ordinance was halted after about 2.5 hours of testimony and will pick up again at next month's Zoning Board of Appeals meeting at 1 p.m. Thursday, February 27th. Others who spoke to the board during the discussion included Travis Herman of Rural Deland, who asked if there had been any consideration on establishing setbacks that would protect existing drainage patterns and tiles. Lewis Wozniak, a former University of Illinois professor, who described wind energy as excellent as a supplement. Ron Weishar of Cisco, who said he uses solar panels at his home and felt Apex treated their landowners and community at their wind farm in the Hoopston area very reasonably. "I think that speaks volumes." And Jonathan Rogers, who performed an ice shed risk assessment and said there was a tiny, tiny chance that ice shed from turbine blades would hit a home. Our next article on the front page is under the banner of Mahomet Business Growth. The headline reads, "Interest in co-working grows." The concept of co-working is coming to Mahomet via the aptly named Co-Working, expected to open on or before March 1st. "Co-working is an idea about shared space," said Mark Kessler, businessman in Mahomet and a full-time business and management instructor at Parkland College. "I thought this concept might be kind of neat. You can go to various places in town, but it doesn't give you the business atmosphere," he added. Co-working, located in Suite D at 703 Eastwood Center Drive in Eastwood Plaza, is being designed on a smaller scale but similar to Logic Everyday Community in Champaign, according to Kessler. That establishment offers offices, co-working space, drop-in childcare, and all-day dining options, according to the Logic website. The idea is to allow small or part-time business owners a professional space in which to work, and yet keep them from trying to purchase larger space that they might not need. "It's just a place, I'm thinking, for a variety of people that either have a home-based business that they don't want their clients coming to their house, or they would like a more professional-looking place of business that they can say, 'Hey, why don't you meet me at my office at co-working?' And they can meet you here," Kessler said. Under construction inside Suite D in Eastwood Plaza, co-working will offer a comfortable place to sit near the front of the space, plus a copy machine and shredder, then several desks for those interested to rent by the month. The space will include a boardroom with a conference table, and members of co-working can sign up on a calendar to use that room. Kessler said there also will be a small room in the back for video chats, for example, and the business for businesses will have free coffee, 5G internet connection, and more. The cost to become a member and use the space is set at $100 per month. Each member then gets a key and 24/7 access to co-working, he explained. The slots are limited to a total of 15, and deals will be available for those who want to lease space on a prorated basis. This is like a mini Logic, Kessler said. I just thought, you know, that might be something that Muhammad could use. I've always thought of this concept. You can go to any restaurant and have lunch and sit across the table from someone, but you might need more privacy, or maybe you need a place to spread out some papers or your laptops. It's just something that I think people could use, he added. Although Kessler also is open to a business approaching him to lease the entire space, he said he's had inquiries already about co-working space. I've got a lot of interest, Kessler said. Kessler isn't new to business in Muhammad. He's behind the first subway in Muhammad and the building of Eastwood Plaza in 2005 or so. The space for co-working is the first since 2006 in Eastwood Plaza. That has opened up, he noted. This just became available November 1st, Kessler said. For more information, contact Kessler via phone at 217-649-6508. That's 217-649-6508. Or email him at mkessler@parkland.edu. Turning now to page A2, we have this article headlined, Patricio's Pizza and More Hopes to Grow. Patricio's Pizza and More is one of the newest restaurants in town, and it is born of long-time plans by the owner, who already has menu expansions in mind as he and his wife get their feet wet in the business world. I decided to rent this little spot. It was something that I was planning for a long time, to have my own shop, said Lazaro Patricio, who owns and operates the establishment, with his wife, Vianney. Patricio's Pizza, located at 703 Eastwood Center Drive in Eastwood Plaza, opened in late December. After a job he was working locally ended, Lazaro turned to the plan of owning his own business. Lazaro chose to focus on pizza with homemade crust and sauce from experience working in the pizza industry. It's something that I did a long time ago in Chicago. It's something that I like to do, he said. That was part of my plan for a long time. If everything goes well, I hope I can do coffee and pizza maybe in the future. The business offers numerous kinds of pizza, ranging from barbecue pizza to vegetarian, Hawaiian, and more. The restaurant also offers hamburgers, wings, salads, and spaghetti. Pizza is sold by the slice as well, and patrons can dine in or order carry out. Most people, they like the deluxe pizza, Lazaro said. The couple operate the business themselves with just one part-time employee. Word is spreading about Patricio's, and more people are giving the pizza a try. It's picking up a little bit. It's getting better, said Lazaro. In the future, he hopes to pair the pizza offerings with coffee, such as iced coffee in the summer. More toppings and more variety are planned as well. The business is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 2 to 9 p.m. on Sundays. Patricio's phone number is 217-590-0786. That number again is 217-590-0786. Also on page A2, we have this article headlined, Muhammad Resident Hopes to Become Judge. Four lawyers with a collective 98 years of experience tried to quickly sum up why voters should choose one of them to be a Champaign County judge. Ramona Sullivan, believes having been widowed young and raising two children alone for 10 years gives her a life experience that no one else on the bench has, and the empathy to deal with single parents. Ruth Wyman said she'd be the only judge fluent in Spanish. David Moore said he has the most experience doing the most kinds of cases, while Mahomet resident Troy Lazar said as a native of the area, he's passionate about keeping the community safe and has the temperament to help get the right result. Those were just snippets of responses given by the four Democratic primary opponents in a forum co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Champaign County, the NAACP, Champaign County, and the News Gazette, held in a packed council chambers January 30th at the Champaign City Building. The winner of the March 17th primary will face Republican Sherry Kessler, a Savoy attorney, in November. The new judge will fill the seat vacated by Michael Jones, who retired in 2018. This is under the heading of backgrounds. Sullivan of Savoy has been a lawyer since November 1996. He's been a full-time Champaign County Assistant Public Defender for the past 8 years. Prior to that, she spent about 14 years as a legal aid attorney for Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance, serving low-income clients in Illinois, and was also in private practice in Edgar County for 2 years. I've been applying since 2012 for every judicial vacancy, she noted, saying she's always been found very qualified and recommended, but never chosen. Of the 14 circuit judges in the Sixth Circuit, she observed that all are Republicans and all but one are men. I wanted to see balance on the bench, she said, of why she first ran in 2018 for a circuit-wide seat that went to Roger Weber. I want people who come to the courthouse to have a judge like me on the bench. Active in organizing and promoting pro bono legal service during her career, Sullivan is now remarried and has 3 children, 2 grown and 1 at home. Lazar currently serves as a co-supervisor of criminal cases in the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office, where he has been a prosecutor since 2004. Prior to that, he had a stint in private practice in Champaign County, and before that, as a state prosecutor in Yuma, Arizona, and a federal prosecutor in Phoenix and Tucson. He's been a lawyer since October 1997. He and his wife and their 2 children live in Mahomet. Lazar said the biggest and most tragic issue in the county's criminal justice system is gun violence, and he supports the idea of a mental health court. Moore lives in St. Joseph and has been a lawyer in Champaign County for 36 years. He gave a long list of kinds of cases he's handled, calling his the broadest base of experience of all the candidates. I'm a good lawyer, I'm a good person, he said, noting he was named an Illinois leading lawyer in 2018 and 2020. Moore, who is divorced, has 2 children in college. His office is in Urbana. Ruth Wyman of Urbana, a lawyer since November 2004, has the least legal experience but the most political experience. Prior to getting her law degree, she served on the Urbana City Council for 8 years. She has repeatedly been recognized for her pro bono efforts locally and is active in several community nonprofit and advocacy groups. Her ability to speak fluent Spanish has led to her handling several immigration cases, as well as representing clients in other kinds of cases. She said she would like to see Champaign County possibly launch a mental health court, and as a judge would work on efficient scheduling. She's married and has a daughter. Under the heading of circuit clerk candidates, we have this. Also given a chance to tell voters about themselves were Democratic Circuit Clerk candidates Robert Bark Burkhalter and Susan McGrath. Burkhalter of Champaign has worked in the Champaign County court system for 13 years, first as a clerk in the city clerk's office, circuit clerk's office, and since 2011 as a courtroom clerk to various judges. He's married and has a daughter. McGrath of Champaign has lived in Champaign County since 1976. A graduate of the University of Illinois and the U of I College of Law, she served on the Champaign County Board for 16 years. She began her legal career in 1982 and was in private practice until 2005. Since then, she has worked in the state's attorney's office in both the civil and support enforcement divisions. Each is vying to unseat Republican Katie Blakeman, who was elected in 2012 and is running for her third term. Burkhalter and McGrath both said the circuit clerk's office needs to be run more efficiently and the staff needs better training. Burkhalter said he is the best candidate for the job because he's done the work every day for the last 13 years. In every job, you have a boss, and then you have a guy you ask when you want to know how something is done. I'm that guy, he said. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need a politician. You need a clerk. McGrath said her experience as a lawyer and her education make her the better candidate. There's definite lack of leadership, she said, of the office now. Each also took backhanded swipes at Blakeman's work schedule. Being present for work is an important part of doing the work, Burkhalter said. I will be there when my people are there, McGrath said, adding that the amount of employee turnover in the clerk's office indicates there are problems. And now, returning to the news and views, we have the 10 Question Friday article featuring Penny Weber, a familiar face in town. She's the editor of the Mahomet Citizen, a Shelbyville native. She's a graduate of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. She turns 50 this year, but she doesn't mind. The first question, if you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time? Sleep. I love my sleep. Question 2. What hobby would you get into if time and money weren't an issue? I'd love to get back into motorcycling and have the time to really take some nice long trips. Question 3. What could you give a 45-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation? I've worked in newspapers for several years now, and I could babble on for much longer than 45 minutes about how the industry has changed, what hometown newspapers should be, what real journalism is, and so forth. Question 4. When you are old, what do you think children will ask you to tell a story about? My nieces and nephews already have been fascinated about stories from my youth, when a transistor radio was a big deal and having a boombox with a cassette player was a huge coup for me one birthday or Christmas, I forget which. In fact, I still have my little boombox. Question 5. What's the favorite piece of clothing you own or did own, and why? You'll think I'm kissing up to everyone in town, but I'm collecting Bulldogs and Mohammed Seymour gear left and right. I love showing school spirit and supporting the village where I cover the news. Question 6. What are the small things that would make your day better, and why is that? I love chocolate, but more importantly, people's smiles. That's a common answer, I know. So I'll add a good corny, i.e. punny, joke. I'm known for my awful, that is, totally awesome, puns. Number 7 question. What is the luckiest thing that has happened to you, and when did it occur? I have to answer the same as I did the first time I did this quiz nearly a year ago. Being born to such awesome parents. Question 8. What is one of your favorite smells? Cinnamon. Question 9. What fictional place would you most like to go? It's not fictional, but I'd sure like to have experienced the Old West back in the day. Question 10. If you could give your advice based on your knowledge today to yourself as a 20-year-old, what would it be? Stop being such a worrywart. And then, since we couldn't stop at 10, one bonus question. What gets you fired up? Simply a good story to write. And now, turning to page A7, we have this article. It's headlined, 3 Unsung Players Have Key Roles for Bulldogs. The Stars get recognized the most, but there are some glue guys who have been instrumental this season for wrestling, girls basketball, and boys basketball. Here are three under-the-radar players who might not get the spotlight, but are certainly very valuable. Luke Kohler, boys basketball. Kohler has provided Ryan Bosch with great size off the bench, and he's starting to become a regular offensive contributor. Kohler led the way with 8 points in the loss to Lincoln. He was the only Bulldog who really had some offensive mojo. He finished 4 of 7 from the field and also ripped down an offensive rebound in just 9 minutes of playing time. The 6'7" center just changes the game when he's on the floor. He allows Braden Finch and Grant Coleman to move to the wing where they can take some guys off the dribble. He also adds a defensive presence who can block shots at the rim. Kohler was huge against Normal Community, totaling 6 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist in 13 minutes. He also ripped down 6 rebounds in the romp over Rantoul. He's just doing a little bit of everything off the bench for Bosch, and Kohler will be one to watch in the years ahead. Ashley Wheeler, girls basketball. The youngsters have been the talk of the town for MS girls basketball, and for good reason. Durbin Thomas, Kaylor Kerner, Savannah Guron, and Nicole Taylor have brought a much-needed boost to the program, but Wheeler's steadfastness hasn't gone unnoticed. The senior forward has been a staple of the starting lineup, and she always gives the lucky Bulldogs, the Lady Bulldogs, timely buckets and big rebounds. Wheeler contributed 6 points and 4 boards against Lincoln. She added 4 points and 7 rebounds in the win over Bloomington Central Catholic in late January. 6 points and 4 rebounds may not seem like a ton, but they really go a long way. The youngsters are going to win a bunch of games in the future for the Bulldogs, but don't be surprised if Wheeler plays a monster role in a big postseason game, because that's just what seniors do. Chance Decker, wrestling. Senior Chance Decker won a regional title last year, but he's been overshadowed by the brilliance of some of his other teammates. But Decker is still ridiculously talented and will continue to be a major piece of the Bulldogs' stretch. There's no way that MS is 22-1 this season without Decker. His leadership has been key for a very young team, and he's not just a vocal leader either. Decker proves it on the mat. He's aiming to become a back-to-back regional champion. This year, he wants to make an even deeper run in the state tournament. Congratulations to all of you unsung players. Next is this important announcement. The annual MAYC auction is coming up. A top fundraiser for the MAYC Muhammad Area Youth Club is this month, and tickets are on sale now. The theme is Hats Off to the Muhammad Area Youth Club. Gibson Area Hospital presents the auction on Saturday, February 22nd, with doors opening at 5:30 p.m. at the iHotel and Conference Center, 1900 South 1st Street in Champaign. Tickets are $75 per person, or $520 for a table of 8, or $650 for a table of 10. The evening will include a live auction, silent auction, music, food and beverages, raffle, and more. Sponsors of the auction include Lisa and Bill Pythman, First State Bank of Forest, Express Employment, Fisher National Bank, Matt DeFonis Remax, Muhammad Car Connection, Ace Hardware, Muhammad Chamber of Commerce, Dean's Blueprint, and Up Close Printing. See next week's newspaper for more on the MAYC Auction Night's events, sponsors, and how MAYC helps local youth. This has been the Muhammad Citizen for the week of February 10th, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.